This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ew. Yo, what's happening? Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully. And mortgage confidently here, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. We've got a very interesting story for you here. Actually, no CBS Sports Network now, just on the radio side. So if you follow us, usually on TV, or you're planning on going home and listening and watching the rest of the show on TV like you do every day on CBS Sports Network. We are actually preempted on the TV side today for a little college baseball from the Big East, Butler and St. John's. So just find us on Sirius XM 206 or one of our many affiliates, CBSSportsRadio.com, Radio.com app, million ways to find Tiki and Tierney. Go get it and stick, because I think you guys will really enjoy this conversation. Now, we all know, Teek, we can abuse drugs. We can.
Not us.
No, of course not, thank God.
Yeah.
You know, we can abuse alcohol. Not us. I mean, this isn't about us. You know, we can abuse food. We can abuse porn. We can abuse tobacco. We can abuse a lot.
Just had to throw porn in there, huh?
Yeah, dude. Don't you think that? I mean, it's got to make the list, right?
Of course.
Don't you think it's got to make the list?
I was just thinking about your list. That's all good.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be on the list.
Of course.
I think it's sadly, it's got to be prominently on the list for a lot of people, unfortunately.
Right.
It's a real compulsive disorder. And this shouldn't really surprise us, because I saw something on 60 Minutes a couple of years ago about this, something on another magazine show, I'm not sure, the network, a couple of years ago, about, you know, technology.
Yep.
And how that is becoming a source of abuse for people. And we get this incredible story, and I saw it. I didn't really get into it until I got to work, but I took a picture of it, and I sent it on our text message chain. Deadspin had a story about, you know, basically a top prospect in the NHL who was playing his way out of the NHL by playing video games.
Yeah, this is pretty astonishing. Now, I remember, just to get personal, to go back, when I went to the University of Virginia. I told you, BT knows this story, but I went as an engineer, and I fell in love with computers because everything was on a computer, right? And it was all our programs we had to build, design. Everything was on a computer. I was like, this is so much fun because I'd never done it before. Right? Obviously, I got out of the engineering school and went to the business school, which was management information systems, which is building databases and all these other things. But I also learned how to program in HTML, which is the backbones to websites, right? And I got addicted to it, BT. Literally, I wouldn't leave the computer lab. I would be there for hours just trying to perfect my website.
Okay.
And so when people talk about, like,
what was it called, tiki.com?
No, it was just, I forgot what it was. It was on the UVA.
Tiki.org.
It was on the UVA server, so it was probably, you know.
.edu.
University of Virginia, www.virginia.edu.
/tiki.
Slash whatever they play, you know, they give you your own, like, little domain.
Uh-huh.
Slash AKB5C, which is still which was my ID. I still remember
it. Oh, my God. You still remember it?
Still remember it. It was awesome.
I barely remember what I majored in. It's got members of school code.
And so you click on it, and you'd get to the...
Oh,
yeah. I was such a geek. But anyways, I could see why you get addicted to these things.
Yeah.
Especially when these new games come out. And right now, the new game is Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard this with David Price. My kids play this. Chasen, my 14-year-old. If he didn't have to eat, he wouldn't. He'd sit in his room and play Fortnite all the time.
How do you deal with that as a dad?
I let him do it until we have something to do. And then, so if he's on his own time, that's what you choose to do, go do it. But if we're all going to go outside and we're all going to be active, you're coming with us.
Okay.
Right? Type of thing.
Gotcha.
Because he's a good athlete.
I know
he's in good shape and he's smart. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like really, really smart. He's kind of like me in a way. He doesn't have to try that hard and he's smart. So I get away with
hey,
it.
Hey, Mr. Humility, everybody.
No,
come on in.
Not.
Tiki, why don't you sit down?
But you know what I mean.
I don't have to try that hard and I'm so smart.
That's a great line.
I'm just messing around.
Kids,
but that's funny.
Just pick stuff
I got to call you on that. You know I'm kidding.
But certain kids pick. I'll give you an example.
I got you.
When he was in like fourth grade, The teachers would get mad.
Hey, listen, I don't like to walk into bars too often because I'm married. But when I walk in, every chick looks at me.
Every single woman. You're
6'1". That's true.
And bald.
6'2", actually.
6'2", and bald. But the teachers used to get mad at him because they think he's not paying attention. But then they ask him a question, and he'd know every answer.
Yeah, you
know
what I mean?
So that's just the kind of kid he is.
I'm just messing with you.
But video games, I could absolutely see at some point when he's 17, 18, you know, maybe going to get a scholarship. If he doesn't get checked by a good coach, good parent, or whoever, into focusing on the things that matter, video games could take over his life. And that's what we're hearing about this hockey player who is obsessed with Fortnite. It's unreal.
This is a crazy story. I want to give you a little more specific details. The way it goes, it's a recent first-round NHL pick. This is on Deadspin. There is a podcast, Sportsnet Podcast 31 Thoughts. And hockey analyst Jeff Marek was on there, and basically Marek declined to name the player, but he cited a conversation he had with the junior GM, and he got his intel, blah, blah, blah. And here's the transcribed comments from his discussion of Fortnite. Quote, on video games, and I'm not going to say the player's name, I really doubt he's going to make it to the NHL. Mm. And it's because of a video game addiction, to the point where his junior GM told me they've had to get him counseling over it, because he'll play until all hours of the night and into the morning, and they don't have no energy the next day. Like, he'll be a write-off. It was that bad.
Wow.
He has this compulsion for playing video games until all hours. I swore I wouldn't say the player's name, but it's unfortunate. He's a recent first-round pick for a very, very prominent NHL team, and he'll probably never play in the NHL because of a video game addiction. Mm. End quote.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. My video game experience is, you know, listen, the way this has evolved here, without being repetitive and taking down a journey that's so long ago, nobody even cares at this point. You know, I played video games just for a little fun. Like, I was in the street every day. You know this about me. Playing hockey, playing hoops, playing whatever, playing army, jumping off cars, throwing snowballs, jumping on the back of trucks and riding down ice. Whatever we were doing, we were doing something outside. Graffiti. But I did like video games. There was definitely a part of me that really, really enjoyed them. And not just the sports games. I did play some other stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I noticed, like, I always thought, like, you know, there was an association. When video games began to explode, I thought it was like more, hey, you know what? These graphics are pretty cool. Let's sit around the dorm room, smoke a bong, and play video games.
Yep.
Like, I thought that was the appeal for a lot of people. And then, you know, we started playing games in college out of nowhere, like sports games, Tiger Woods, and we play a dollar a hole, like I told you, when this stuff came out, first came out, Tiger Woods, hockey, NHL Live,
the graphics
mid-90s.
Got better.
Graphics got better. And so I can't actually allow my mind to so intimately feel how somebody could be addicted to this. However, I do recall, and I said this to D-Cell earlier, like many times, like whether I had to go to practice or whether I had a class, we would look at each other and we'd say, what time is it? Yo, we got time for one more. Rack it up. Hit reset. Let's go. Like, there's something that draws you in like a mat when you don't want to leave.
Well,
because you're competing and you're not moving.
Well, that's the thing.
I can't explain it.
Here's the thing. In one part, it's the competitive nature. The reason that he was a first-round pick and a very good potential player is because he's so competitive, right? And it's because, you know, he sees something or gets involved in something and wants to master it. I want to figure out how to be the best I can at Fortnite, whatever the game is. And that's how all good players are that way. And it's usually not video games. It's usually something else. It's usually the sport you're actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You get obsessed with it and you start working at it. But here's a good example. And it's not a video game, but it is a game. We had a ping pong table with the Giants when I was there before Coughlin got there.
I'm awesome in ping pong.
He made him get so, and I became good.
Yeah,
because I got obsessed with. We had a ping pong table in the locker room.
Can't get embarrassed.
But meetings are coming up. Like, it's, say we got a meeting. It's 4:11 right now. And it's 33 seconds, 34 seconds. We started, like, how long does it take us to run to the meeting room?
I get
it. And
you.
It would be like 52 seconds.
Yeah.
All right. So right now, say the meeting's at 4:15. We're like, all right, we can go until 4 14 and 10 seconds. All right. Mm-hmm. So let's get a game in. We got 3 minutes and two seconds.
Yeah.
And we just get a game in as fast as we can. And it's not like, you know, it wasn't I didn't think it was a bad thing, but at times it was because we'd miss meetings. We'd be late to meetings.
Then it was a bad thing because it sidetracked you from your actual job.
And so it's easy to happen. So I can see how this.
So can I.
This is happening nowadays where video games are becoming such a big part of kids' lives because the games are getting interesting.
Yes.
Right? I don't know if you've played Fortnite.
I have not played.
I have because of my
I've read a little bit about it. I haven't played. I don't have Fortnite.
It's a really cool, like, feels like an immersive experience. Mm-hmm. You, like, parachute into
these. Yeah, most of them do now.
Yeah, you parachute into these places, and you got to build stuff and, you know, and fight other people.
Challenges your mind. It challenges your toughness on some level.
Agreed.
Reactions.
And it's competitive.
Hand-eye.
It's competitive. These kids want to win.
Yep.
Right? They don't know why they want to win, but they want to win, and they have to win. And you get so close. Oh, you finished third out of whatever, seven or whoever was on the board that time. And you get obsessed with it. I can see it. I can see how it become a distraction. How it could derail an NHL career for a kid that's about to make millions.
Yeah,
I don't really see
why an addiction's an addiction. I mean, the money aspect shouldn't matter. You know, the stage should matter. I mean, if you get sucked into drugs, does it matter if you're destitute or if you're affluent? No, a porn addiction, does it matter if your second cousin's a priest or a rabbi?
Probably not.
No,
probably not.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think it's probably
that's the thing about addictions. There's no boundaries. Yeah, black, white, rich, poor, you name it, you got it. Yeah, you can get it.
The chemical makeup,
the chemical makeup,
your brain is probably what it comes down to. And I'm not studied enough, enough, and then that
clearly neither am I. But what's frightening is that there's a lot of people that are going to read this story, mostly older, you know, people that skew a little older, and say, can't be addicted to a video game.
You're right.
And you know what? I fully believe that you can be. Anything that derails your life or anything that consumes, maybe this isn't the literal medical working definition of the word addiction, but in layman terminology, anything that derails you from doing what you're supposed to do or what you're paid to do, like job-wise, or anything that infringes on a balance of what is right and what is normal, and it cuts into that, and you can't control it, that's an addiction.
Yeah. You know what the other one is?
So why wouldn't video games be addiction?
Well,
be addictive.
You know what the other one is? And it's become such a common part of all of our existence. Facebook, Instagram,
it's true.
Social media.
You're right.
People get addicted. They can't not look at it.
Oh, me too.
They don't know what they're doing.
I look at it. It bores the hell out of me.
Don't care
it's so stupid.
They don't care what they're looking at, but you have to look at it.
Yeah.
You open up your phone. Nobody's written you. You just click on one of these apps and you start scrolling.
That's what I do.
Scroll, scroll, scroll. And then you sit there for 8 minutes and you're like, what the hell am I doing?
I also, you know what, T? I look at it partly. Am I going to stumble upon something that I can use for the show? And I'm not trying to fool myself. Yeah. Like that is, it's part research. But like, so if I'm at a stoplight, I'm not doing it while I'm driving. But if I'm in traffic or if I'm obviously idle in the car, boom, Twitter. What did I miss anything? Thumb through it. Not even my mentions, like stories, news feed.
Yeah.
But it's look at my computer. What's it on?
It's yeah.
I haven't written anything. It's nonsense. It's open to Facebook for some reason. I don't even know why.
Because you can't help it. You can't help it. You get conditioned, and then you get conditioned, and then before you know it, you become addicted to it.
Oof, man. How do you break the cycle? Think about this, and I don't think it's any different than, like, when you hear somebody say, you know, I've got an alcohol problem, and I'm going to stop drinking, and I'm going to attack this, and I'm going to be recovering alcohol. I mean, not that you say that, but you take the proper steps. Or you don't quite say it like that. And then just imagine for that person, like, think for them out to yourself and say, imagine not being able to celebrate at a wedding or toasting somebody and, you know what I mean? Like or having a beer at a game or at a barbecue or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Friday night, you go home. Just have a beer.
Glass of wine with your wife. Imagine how daunting it must be in the minds of young in terms of the early part of their addiction. People who are addicted to video games, if they actually think, I will never be able to play a video game again, they must be inconsolable.
Yeah.
Because that's all they want to do.
Yeah.
They're up all night.
And the hard thing is,
all night.
Is how do you convince them that it's dangerous? It's easy to, not easy, it's easier to convince an alcoholic than
true.
Alcoholic.
True. Your liver, you smoke, your lungs, circulatory disorder.
Die. You could die.
Yeah.
How can you convince someone that playing a video game is dangerous? You can't.
You can't, but it is.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a crazy story.
Yeah,
Get some tweets on that. I'm curious if you guys have any experience at all, or if you disagree, or if you just wanted to weigh in. Hit us up on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Really love to see what you think about that. So we have a chance. We got David Griffin coming up next, huh? That came out of nowhere. All right. That's a great guest for today. Let's break right now. David Griffin, former GM of the Cavaliers. Get his thoughts on what's happening with those Cavaliers and also the Warriors and the Rockets. Coming up next, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Let's be honest. After a while, you may want to play like you used to, but a couple of years go by, you put some wear and tear on your body, and, well, things just don't work quite the way they used to. Same thing can be said for your car. After a while, the time and mileage takes its toll on your brakes. They go soft and don't respond the way that they should. That can be a real problem for you and for the others on the road. So stop by the O'Reilly Auto Parts Spring Break event and take advantage of O'Reilly's Do It Right rebate. You'll get a $20 gift card by mail when you buy a set of Brake Best Select pads and a pair of rotors. Your brakes will be as good as new when you have some real money, when you spend some real money and save some real money on quality parts during the O'Reilly Spring Break event. There's not a lot of parts on your vehicle more important than your brakes. So drive in to your nearest O'Reilly Auto Parts and take advantage of this limited time event. You'll be so glad that you stopped by. Better parts, better prices every day.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, Def Leppard and Journey, two of rock's most iconic bands, will be touring together this summer. It's a 58-city tour that kicks off on May 21st and includes 10 stadiums, Wrigley Field, Coors Field, Fenway Park, Busch Stadium, and AT&T Park, plus great venues like The Garden and the Fabulous Forum in L.A. Tickets for this show, go to LiveNation.com or Ticketmaster.com, where you keep it right here for your final chance to win today. It's the concert of your choice, so when you hear the Def Leppard and Journey sound, they're coming up in the 5 Eastern hour. Be the correct caller at 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. It's for your shot to win, your last chance to win. 9 winners so far, and today will be number 10, brought to you by Live Nation and us, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki and Tierney, for complete contest rules, go to cbssportsradio.com/rules. I'm going to guess, Teak, that our next guest here, he's played a little Def Leppard, a little Journey back in the day.
No doubt.
I would imagine so. David Griffin, former GM of the Cavs, Sirius XM, NBA TV. David, Tiki, and Tierney, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I like every band that has a one-armed drummer.
Oh, you attaboy. You know he really knows his stuff if he's dropping that little fact. There you go. Okay. So you're watching what we're watching, David, although obviously you know the personnel far more intimately than we do out there in Cleveland. And, you know, it's funny. You start to hear these comments from Van Gundy. You know, you get the eye rolls and the analogy of a poor marriage where there's just uncomfortable body language. Number one, do you sense that? Because I personally don't think that it's really wise to waste a lot of time on how the Cavaliers can change, like their talent level, because they're just so one-dimensional outside of LeBron and maybe one or two other guys. I think it's more of a chemistry and a passion issue at this point. How about yourself?
Well, I think the chemistry aspect of it's very true, and I think that's why Ty Lue went back to J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver, Tristan Thompson, Kyle Love, LeBron, guys that knew how to win together and guys that had a level of trust in one another, and more importantly, that LeBron had a level of trust in. You can tell that the group that has not been together, because Kevin had been injured at the end of the year and because so many of the new pieces had been in and out of the lineup with injuries, they were never able to build any kind of continuity. They were never able to really build any kind of trust. And so I think it's just been really difficult for them to build it in the playoffs against a team in Boston that is really all about excellence and execution. And they're going to make you pay when you make mistakes.
You know, David, when you think about, you know, what Ty Lue tried to do, you said go back to that lineup. What does he do now? You know what I mean? They lost by 13 in game two. What does he do now, or if there is even a solution?
Well, I think to a huge degree, going home is going to help. Guys that are not necessarily seasoned playoff players are certainly going to play better at home. So that's a start. I think the other thing you do is you start to lock in far more on the defensive end. If you can get stops and get out and run in transition, then you can sort of mitigate some of the advantage Boston has with their half-court defense. You know, Boston basically switched everything in the first game, and they were kicking guys out of the switch as well. They were doing things that almost looked like triple switching and making sure they had the right guy in the right on the right matchup, and Cleveland played into it by playing slow enough for them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The second game, Cleveland's plan was they were going to attack those switches, and so Brad didn't switch as much. So I think at this point what Ty needs to do is, first of all, have identify a group that he knows is going to be able to play the way they want to play, but they're going to have to play with pace on the offensive end and really start to do that by getting stops defensively. And I think that means, again, he's going to have to keep Kevin and Tristan on the court, because those guys together historically have done a really good job against Al Horford, by way of example, and you got to start somewhere.
Boy, that's a lot of asterisks there. No, but I hear you. I'm not saying you're wrong, but that's a lot of things that have to happen. David Griffin is with us here, a former GM of the Cavaliers, Sirius XM. You see him on NBA TV as well, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So it came out yesterday that that LeBron and Ty Lue were pushing for DeAndre Jordan at the trade deadline. You know, I don't know how much that would have solved, because I'm not so sure what you would have had to give up to get him. But what if you were still running the team, all right, right before they made the move for the four players and did what they did, was there a better direction to go, a different door to knock on? Was this the best move?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. When they swept Toronto, certainly it looked like the right move. I think it's possible that there's another answer for them. I think they definitely have the ability to do some different things than they've done. But, you know, again, before LeBron gets hit in the mouth and they're up 11 in the second quarter of that game, they were doing everything that they needed to do. So it's hard for me to say that it's all personnel. I don't know what was on their table at the time. I don't know what opportunities they were weighing, but I think they ran into a situation where the nucleus they had wasn't working. Spiritually, it was completely broken. And they went on a little run after they made the deal, simply because they traded for a LeBron James that was psychologically completely engaged with that group. And again, they've got to get back to playing with that level of urgency, certainly, but they were doing it in the second quarter of this series. So it's hard for me to think there's, you know, you said a lot of asterisks there that they have to correct. I think they need to get back to where they were at that moment. And I don't know if LeBron can do that. I've never seen that look in his face before, but you could tell that group lost a lot of confidence very quickly, and Boston was able to sort of flip the script pretty quickly as well.
Yeah, you know, and Boston is they're playing unbelievable, especially for a team that's so many young guys in critical positions. Now, you know Kyrie Irving very well, and he's obviously been sitting on the bench for the last couple of months now because of injuries. But are you surprised, as I think all of us are, probably not at this point, but when it first started happening, how good they are without him? And it brings up the question, what is Danny Ainge ultimately decide to do, or how does he value Kyrie if they get to the NBA Finals without him?
Well, it's funny. You could say the same thing about Gordon Hayward, right?
I mean, that's a good point.
Fascinating situation. Because of the loss of Hayward, they were able to play Tatum and Jaylen Brown a lot more early. They were able to lean on them a lot more early, and they've grown by leaps and bounds. And since Kyrie was out, you know, permanently from the lineup, Terry Rozier has been able to do the same thing. So I don't know if it's that you're not going to value them or that you're not going to place as much value on them. I think it's going to accelerate the timeline for when you really expect yourself to be the dominant team in the East. What's a really compelling question, I think, for Boston is, how much do you pay Marcus Smart? How do you keep this group together into the future? Because I think there's a pretty clear argument that can be made, even if you win the East without those two guys, the way you actually win the title is going to require their presence.
Hey, David, if you were only able to choose one of the two following players, would you take Tatum or would you take Jaylen Brown?
Gosh, that's a tough question. I think I would probably take Tatum to more teams than not. I think he requires less fit necessarily than Jaylen does. But there are circumstances where I think Jaylen's, you know, the exact right piece. You know, he's such a different specimen physically in terms of the defensive side of the ball. Jason's never going to be that kind of physical presence, I don't think. Jaylen can play a lot of four. I think they play Tatum at some four. But I think Tatum fits across more of the 30 teams than Jaylen does.
but they're both really elite in their own right.
They are. Yeah. They are good, man.
Yeah, Dave, we only got a little bit of time here, but there's two guys I want to ask you about. One is Kawhi Leonard and what you actually think, what you think is going to happen with that situation down in San Antonio. And the other one is Boogie Cousins. Where can he fit in? He wants to go to contender. Where can he go that fits right for what he's, I think, become? Because I think he got rid of that I'm a malcontent that hung over his head with the Kings when he was down in New Orleans. So where can he fit?
Again, a really good question. I think for New Orleans, the question is, what's it worth to pay DeMarcus as he's coming off this injury to figure out exactly how good he can be for next season? Because typically that's a full year injury, especially a guy with that size who's a one-foot jumper, and he tore the Achilles on his push-off leg. So that's a really profoundly difficult situation for them. I think he's a great fit for almost anybody that wants to play two bigs that are really skilled. So in the New Orleans situation, it was great. If you've got two bigs and you can force Golden State to keep a center on the court, in the Western Conference, that might be a formula that works. I mean, you could see him in San Antonio with LaMarcus Aldridge, by way of example. Wow. I don't know if two bigs works, but if you're going to play him, you're going to play him for that exact reason, because you wanted to have an advantage against Golden State. And I know that's what New Orleans was thinking.
Yeah.
The problem they have is they might actually get the full bandwidth of Anthony Davis at five, so they might not ever make it to that matchup if they have both of pieces together.
Yeah.
And I find that fascinating. The first one, the Kawhi Leonard thing, for 21 years, the Spurs have figured it out. And they've always found a way to figure it out. And Pop figured it out with LaMarcus Aldridge. I think part of the solution to keeping LaMarcus happy was to run the offense through him more. And maybe Kawhi's not super comfortable with that. But I'm going to just assume that they're going to do what they've always done, and they're going to figure it out. You know, once they sit down in a room and it's not the uncle doing the talking anymore, and it's not the agency, and it's not all the noise being made, but it's actually two grown men sitting across from each other. Pop tends to do awfully well when grown men are in the room.
That's a good way to frame it. I'm a little less encouraged. I just feel like they're kind of getting toward the end of the part of the plank where it's time to jump at some point, but we'll see. They certainly have enough lineage there to suggest that that they can fix it. I do want to ask you this. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
But it's interesting. So they're the only franchise where the Popovich has the level of power that if he just says flatly, no, I won't trade you, I will never be the one to trade Kawhi Leonard, in much the same way that Dr. Buss said, I will never trade Kobe Bryant.
Yep.
Then Kawhi's not getting traded.
That's true.
And that's a really unique situation, and you couple it with a guy who's been as significant as he's been from a leadership perspective. You know, if Kawhi himself was out there talking and saying negative things, I'd agree with you that they're at the end of the plank. But I don't think we've even gotten to the plank yet until I hear him say something.
All right, we'll have a chance to revisit that for sure. David Griffin is with us here, Sirius XM, NBA TV, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Not a lot of time on this, but I just give a quick thought on the coaching carousel. What was the biggest surprise? What did you like the best? What really jumped out to you with the wave of coaching hires?
Well, you know, I think the biggest surprise for me really was how quickly Phoenix settled on Igor Kokoschkov. I think it's a really good hire. I like it a lot. Igor's somebody that I know well. I was with him in Phoenix. He was with us in Cleveland at one point as an assistant also.
Mm-hmm.
It was fascinating to me that they went with Igor as quickly as they did before the lottery. I think everybody thought that the Igor signing might have signaled that they were more on the Luka Doncic path from a draft perspective. And I don't necessarily think that's true now. And I also think that signing Igor when they did was fascinating because I don't know who they were competing against in a timing standpoint. And again, this is a coach I love, so I think it's a great hire. I was just surprised with when they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the hire of Budenholzer is just an amazing fit for Milwaukee. I think he's been incredibly successful with scoring point guards, if you can even call them point guards, the likes of Teague and Schroeder, and that's certainly a good fit with Bledsoe. I think all of his motion-oriented things are going to put Giannis in a position to be very successful, and that's important because he's not at all a shooter, so you need somebody who's been successful with similar roster types, and Bud certainly has been.
That's great stuff. David, appreciate you hopping on, man. Thank you very much, and enjoy the weekend games, and we'll circle back on that Popovich, Kawhi Leonard stuff, see who's right.
All right, man. I'll be ready for it.
No doubt. Thanks, David. Appreciate
it, buddy.
Have a good
weekend, guys.
Okay, back at you. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Here's a quick way to save money. Switch to Geico, whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance. Get it all at geico.com. That was really good stuff. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Axe update. Here's Rich right now.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, the PGA Tour is on CBS, and it heads to Dallas. It's actually there right now. Great Dallas, Texas, the world's best take on a new course this year and some low scores yesterday. So a 61 or a 62, a bunch of 64s. It's the beautiful Trinity Forest Golf Club. Sergio and Jordan Spieth lead the charge at the AT&T Byron Nelson this weekend on CBS. See how I become more enthusiastic?
Yeah.
This weekend on CBS.
Down in Dallas, Texas.
Wouldn't mind seeing a nice Tiki and Tierney promo back on CBS TV like we had last year.
Man, BT, you're right.
What?
You look at it. It's Friday. The leader is Mark Leishman. It's 15 under.
Tiki, I'm not going to say anything if I'm not right.
I follow everything, man.
These guys are showing out. 61 yesterday, right?
Yeah.
So you're minus 15 on a Friday? I mean, this thing's going to be minus 25, minus...
Brian,
it's not going to double it, but...
Seriously, though, maybe 20-something. Brian Gay, who I'm not familiar with, he's 9 under today. He's finished. He's obviously in the clubhouse, but he's 13
Who's
under.
That now?
Brian Gay.
Gotcha.
Brian Gay. Jimmy Walker hit 11 under.
He's been around for a while. He's actually a veteran. Gay's been around, and Walker's been around. Walker won a major. He won at Baltusrol.
Yep.
How many... I want to just see... Then we'll get to inbounds, out of bounds here. But I want to see how many. Oh, it's not like he's at minus 15. So it's not a situation like we had at the Players' Championship where you had basically, you know, Webb Simpson was minus 19 going into Sunday. And you had miles between him and the co-leader.
There's probably 10 guys still in contention.
Yeah.
10 or 11
let's
or
see,
so.
Two shots back. You got 4 or 5 guys at minus 11.
I mean, but if they're throwing down 9, you know, 9 unders. I mean, maybe there's probably 15 guys.
That's awesome, though. You know, and here's what I really hope, though, because that's what, you know what that means? That means on Saturday, more specifically Sunday, though, going down the back nine, it's going to be a birdie fest on CBS.
Yeah, you're right.
And I don't want to see every tournament like that. I really don't. Like, I prefer some, and there's different kinds of golf.
Mm-hmm.
Like the U.S. Open, or certainly the U.S. Open is more about making par and avoiding the big number, clearly. And you get a couple of red numbers, you're going to win. But like the Shell Open or something like the AT&T Byron Nelson shootout. Give me something where there's like mid-60s every round. And I think we're going to get that. Where obviously we've gotten it so far. I just wonder if all right, so Adam Scott's minus 10. I'm looking for a couple of other. Jordan Spieth is minus 7. Yeah, he's got to get going a little bit. He's minus 7.
Yeah, but those guys can. We saw Jordan do it last week.
No doubt about it.
Right.
No doubt.
Same heel, same wave that Tiger rode on Saturday.
Yeah. I think we haven't seen Adam Scott play meaningful golf in a while.
That's a good point.
Get that beautiful swing back on loop on CBS over the weekend. Most people say, what the hell do we know? We're just trying to get it straight. But most people like study the swing.
Mm-hmm.
Really, most people kind of say he's got the prettiest swing on tour. And they've said that for a while. In terms of balance, power, posture, finish, all that stuff. All right, so that's coming up over the weekend. How's that for a read, CBS? Can we really hammer it home for you? What do you want us to talk about, March Madness now? Are you ready for inbounds, out of bounds, Teak?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, here we go, brother. First up, so despite playing just 3 career collegiate games, that would be Mizzou forward Michael Porter Jr. still got a little swag here. Pretty confident. Says he's the best player in the NBA draft. Yesterday, Porter told ESPN, quote, "I played against all those guys." And they do. I mean, they play each other on the AAU circuit if they didn't play in college. They're all great players, but I'm the best in the draft. And I just can't wait to show what I'm capable of. End quote. In or out, Michael Porter should be a top 5 pick in the NBA draft.
I'm going to say yeah. I think he... Because think about what was happening coming into last college basketball season. Before he had one single play And if he hadn't taken any plays, he was going to be a top five pick. And so the only thing he did was prove that he's tough and has a desire to be out on the court by playing when he was coming back from injury. A lot of people didn't think he was going to play all season long. I remember you went to that first game,
that first tournament. Down in Florida.
And you were like, man, his brother's pretty good, but he's not going to be done all season.
Yeah.
But he tried to come back, and I think that's commendable. He already had the talent, so I'm saying, yeah, he's going to be a top five.
I love that he came back. I love that, you know, you see these college football players, they don't want to play in the bowl game. This young man didn't have to suit up a second.
Not
he was guaranteed $10, $12 million, whatever it is, when you look at the, when you know, you play out the rookie contract. But he came back, and I respected that. He's got a really nice skill set. The only thing I would say is be a little leery about preseason prediction. Remember Mecca Okafor? Jahlil Okafor?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, Mecca Okafor wasn't really a great pro either, but Okafor.
Yeah, but Jahlil, if we would have been asked that question.
If you asked every team in the NBA before the season started, who would you want to pick number one, they would all say take Jahlil Okafor.
I know, but then we actually saw him play, and you saw him play in person.
I did.
And so if you would have asked this show, and we would have been in bounds and out of bounds on this show, it would have been out of bounds.
I can't help that other people aren't informed.
You know, I'm just telling you. You called it like the first time you saw a play in person.
I like how inbounds, out of bounds becomes compliment my partner. I like that.
Truth.
I like this game.
Dude,
I hear you.
I don't want to say he's a bust yet, but I mean.
Nah, he's a bust, dude. He's a bust. Come on, the Nets didn't even want to play him.
That's good.
He's a bust. They were trying to get. I mean, he is absolutely. He's a bust. Nah, There's no doubt. He's not going to be what he's supposed to be.
Bust is mean. I mean, it's just mean. I didn't want to say it.
He might be below a bust at this point. Wow. He's like more like an incomplete. We can't even really grade him.
I know.
Maybe
that's what I feel like because he hasn't been out on the court, so I can't say he sucks.
He's not.
He's just not playing.
Inbounds, by the way. Back to the question. I do believe he should be a top five pick as well. Listen, I don't know about Doncic. I mean, I know I've seen the video. We've all seen. Who the heck knows what Luka Doncic is? I don't know. I mean, to say that I know, I don't know. You don't know either. Nobody knows. Mohamed Bamba from Texas, good defensive skill.
7'10 wingspan.
I know, but very, very raw offensively. Trey Young, really small, although most people don't think he's going to go top five. Colin Sexton, Bridges. Listen, I like Porter. And I'm with you. I would say inbounds on this. Inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, so the St. Louis Cardinals, they've lost six players due to injury in the month of May alone. And we still have a couple of weeks to go here, despite putting relievers Tyler Lyons and Leone on the hill, on the list there. Catcher Yadi Molina, he took one where you don't want to take one. Starting pitchers Carlos Martinez, not good for my fantasy team. And Adam Wainwright, who's always hurt. Oh, the DL, they are real. They're out. I mean, they just—I don't know how they're still afloat here. But they're 23-18, and they're just two back in the crowded NL Central. In or out, the Cardinals will keep themselves in playoff contention as their injuries accumulate.
I'm going to say inbounds, only because they always seem to find a way to do this. And it's not like their farm system's being lauded right now, but. It is always a deep one and a pure one. So I think their philosophies on bringing talent up have always been good. So even if they do accumulate all these injuries and these things end up becoming longer than just the short DL stints that they usually are, I think they'll be okay. Maybe not leading the division, but the division is very tight right now. So I think there's a chance for them to hang around until these guys get healthy.
Well, that's the key word, that, you know, keep them in contention.
Yeah.
Not, you know, they're going to secure a wild card. They're going to win the Central. No, there's a lot of jumbled teams here. You're going to tell me that, you know, you trust the Pirates without Garrett Cole here, who's obviously in Houston now, and McCutcheon's gone. And not that McCutcheon was great the last year, although actually last year he was pretty good. But the year before that he scuffled, and Cole's hit a different level clearly. But do you really believe in the Pittsburgh Pirates? Yeah, I don't. I believe in the Brewers, maybe a little more than Pittsburgh, and they're actually behind the Pirates by half a game. I think Shaw's a really good third baseman. They got some speed in the outfield. Had a couple of home run hitters. I don't like their pitching staff, though. Every team's got an element of fallibility here. The Cubbies, I mean, they got to get Yu Darvish right. I mean, they got a lot of problems, and the Cubs are in fourth place. So I agree. Inbounds, they're one of those teams. They're kind of like the Spurs, although the Spurs win more championships. The Cardinals are never out until they're actually off the respirator, and they're not close to becoming off the respirator anytime soon.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, how about this, Teague? So there's the three NBA head coaching vacancies left is obviously Bud taking the Bucks gig, and the Orlando Magic have now shifted their focus to University of Houston head man Kelvin Sampson. This is an odd direction that they're taking here. All right. Sampson's been a head coach in Washington State, University of Oklahoma, and the University of Indiana. He also spent 6 years as an assistant in the NBA. In or out, Sampson is a good candidate for the Magic head coaching job.
I'm going to say this is inbounds. Because you look at some of these teams that are struggling to fill their rosters with good players, and they have a couple of good guys down there. Aaron Gordon is the one that jumps out the most. But I think it's smart for a young head coach to get his feet wet doing this. Now, he may not be their long-term solution, but if he can at least get them professional, and it's an opportunity for him to grow his resume, I think it works for Orlando. They're not going to be good next year.
I'm going the complete opposite direction. Just from a philosophical point of view, I want to find my Brad Stevens, and I know you're going to have to look and basically hit every tree and rustle.
It's hard.
I know it is, but then get something that remotely is it a remote? What's that, D-cell? Oh yeah, I got you. Talking to my ear. Let me speak, buddy. Like a remote approximation of Brad Stevens. Anything that represents Brad Stevens, get me 70% of that, and that's not Kelvin Sampson. I need somebody younger. I want a young coach to grow with my young roster. I don't like the Sampson move at all. I don't. Even a guy like Mark Jackson, I'll tell you who I might hire. Might hire Jerry Stackhouse. Even though Stack isn't young per se, he can develop with these kids. I would say Stack. I would not hire Kelvin Sampson for the NBA. No.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, there you go. D-Cell, by the way, since you're producing today, is that your producer hat? Like, what's with that? You never wear a hat. I like it, by the way. I might have to borrow it on the golf course. But today's producing, he wears a hat.
M-Drive.
What's that all about? Oh, he's pointed to the clock integrity. That's a good step.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.